From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of August, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And in about 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll get an update from the state statisticians about crop progress and reports from their areas, and we'll hear from Chip Flory on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. Don't forget, Will Ag has a big week and a half in front of us. Starting tonight, we'll be in Decatur at the Macon County Extension Building. That's right next to the Farm Progress Show site and right near the big wind turbine there at 7 o'clock, along with Paul Cooley and Matt Bennett, Jackie Bakes, and Kurt Kimmel, a host and Ag Outlook panel. And then next week, we'll be at the Farm Progress Show. We'll have 22 of our analysts in the University of Illinois tent, along with all of the University of Illinois faculty and staff and professionals that you can talk to directly. It all happens in part because of the program you're listening to right now, WILLAG.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon in Chicago, finished futures higher. September wheat futures at 757 and a quarter, up 21 and three quarters. December at 784 and a half, 18 and a half higher from the CME group. And March at 813 and three quarters, up 17 and a quarter. July wheat at next year's at 825 and a half, up 16 for the day. September corn futures 730 and a quarter, 9 and three quarters higher. December up 9 cents, $7.43 and a half from the corn pit. And the March contract 755, up 8. May at 758, 7 and a half higher. July corn $7.59 and a quarter, up 7 and a half. And next year's December at $6.59 and a half cents, up 4 for the day. September soybeans $13.89 and a half cents, 13 higher. November $13.97 and a quarter, up 12. January beans $14.06 and a half, up 11 and a quarter. The March at $14.07 and a half, up 9 and three quarters. And next year's November contract at $13.38 and three quarters of a cent, a penny and a quarter higher. Bean meal up 5.60. Bean oil 2 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle finished the October contract at $115 and a nickel, down 65 cents. Feeders at $133.72 and a half, 25 higher in the August. And the October lean hogs at $88.22 and a half, down 77 and a half. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October crude oil, $85.69 a barrel, up $1.27. Ethanol at $2.89 3/10, 3 7/10 higher. Natural gas at $4.02 1/10, 13 2/10 cents of a higher. And the September heating oil at $2.94 1/2. That's diesel fuel, 3 4/10 higher for the day. Gold futures finished at $1,858.30 an ounce, down $30.40 in the Dow now, up about 230 points at 11,084. The dollar at 73.8, down 0.18. The CRB index at 334.43, 2.6 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Raining now outside of the WILL studios. Partly sunny, a high near 86 degrees. South winds at about 14 miles an hour, gusting to 21 with a chance of precip set at 60%. Tonight, a 50% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 69 degrees. South-southwest winds at 9 to 11. And tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 92 degrees. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m., partly cloudy and a low of 65 degrees. On Thursday, we should see sunny skies, a high of 83. Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 60. And Friday, sunny, a high near 84 degrees. By the time we get to Saturday, skies will be sunny and 86. Saturday night, cloudy and 65. Sunday, partly sunny and 85. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 63 degrees, partly sunny on Monday with a high near 82 degrees. Outside of our studios now, about 3/10 of an inch of rainfall has fallen, and it's coming down at a rate of about 1/10 of an inch an hour. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. John Hester from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is in for the afternoon to talk to us. Thanks, John, for filling in for Wayne today. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, Todd.
And you watch the market all day long besides the earthquake that happened on the East Coast. What did we find out today?
Well, it was a very productive day in the grain market. Started out carry through of the overnight and sold off a little bit, and everything got markets backed off to about steady. Then they got the steam back up, and corn, Dease corn, closed on contract highs again today and made new contract highs. Beans were up 14 cents, 13 cents. They're pushing up against resistance at that $14.05 area. And wheat made a nice rally today, 21 cents higher. And, you know, basically the rally was contributed to the lower crop ratings yesterday and speculation and early reports from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour that the yields are not what the government said they were.
Do you think corn can continue to make new near-term highs based on what's happening on the tour and the fundamentals in the marketplace at this point?
You know, I'm not sure how high is. I don't know if I said that right. But
right.
Yes, I think it should go up a little more. Now, you know, the professionals are saying somewhere between 7.5 and 8.5 should hold it or stop it for now. But, you know, as long as they can sell the product overseas and the demand, and we do not have the product, it's going to continue to work higher, but at some point in time, price will ration it, and there will be plenty of product.
And we are at that in-between point right now where
Correct.
We're waiting on the new crop to come in. Do you see basis appreciation in front of us?
You know, around here, there is no early basis for beans or a premium for early beans, and there's some beans around here that'll probably be cut in the next 10 days. I think most of the processors may have a decent supply. They may not have to bid up, you know, that 50 cents to a dollar for the early beans like they have in the past. And on the corn side of it, we've got two ethanol plants very close here, and I've heard that they've booked most of their August and part of their September needs already with anticipating the corn coming in, and, you know, they may not have to bump their basis up too much to get corn.
In your area, and this will be localized, will there be enough corn to make sure that those ethanol plants can manage their way through the process of rationing out the crop over the coming months as we move through the marketing year?
You know, I've never sat down with a pencil and paper and figured it out, but between the two plants, the one at Linden, Indiana, and the one at Cloverdale, Indiana, and it's about 25 miles south of where I sit and about 20 miles north, those two plants consume, running at about 100% or 110%, they consume about 75 million bushel of corn a year between them.
Right.
And, you know, that's all the corn Montgomery County can produce and probably the 4, 5, 6 surrounding counties. And, you know, that's figuring an average yield. So they're going to have to draw corn from other places or cut back production.
We're getting close enough. What are producers saying to you about what might be in their fields at this time for a corn crop?
I think everybody's still optimistic, but, you know, I think some realistic numbers I'm hearing, 130 to 160, 165, anywhere in between. You know, there's not many farmers that's walked out into the middle of the field and looked things over, and I suspect there's going to be some yields under 100 bushel.
John, we appreciate you taking the time with us
today. Hey, I enjoyed talking to you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. John Hester is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting at the Beck Ag Center at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, on Tuesday, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Lee Goss from EFG in Chicago will be there. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
On the phone line now from the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is Chip Flory. Good afternoon to you, Chip.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
We're getting a little rainfall here. Are you being rained on there?
No, we are warm, borderline hot over here. We got blue skies, and everything's looking pretty good over here in Nebraska. We're in Ashland, Nebraska right now, which is just a little bit southeast of Omaha, southwest of Omaha.
Yesterday you were in dryland corn, but as we talked to you, we're about to make your way through that corn, which would have been irrigated, and I suppose you've been in that for a good portion of the day today. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah. When we left Grand Island, the first few stops that we were in, we saw a lot of irrigated corn. I've got a bit of a problem with this corn crop out here, and we just seem to keep coming up an ear, 2 ears, sometimes 3 ears short of what we ought to be finding in that 30-foot of row. So it all gets back to how that crop was planted. It gets back to some of those cold temperatures that we had after the crop was planted. So it's an emergence issue. We've got a green snap issue. We just seem to be falling short 2 or 3 years. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but you're talking about 2-3%, maybe even a little bit more, a decline in your total ear count. And when you start to do that, boy, it's really hard to make up for lost yield when you don't have the ear there.
So how does it compare to last year at this point?
To this point through Nebraska, I think we're looking at a yield that is coming in under what we had a year ago, but Todd, I think we're still going to end up better than the 3-year average. And I think that's really important because last year was a pretty good crop over here. It wasn't a great crop, but it was a pretty good crop in Nebraska. So matching that is going to be difficult to do. But if we can just come in better than the 3-year average in Nebraska, then we've done something. We've done something. We've lived through some awfully hot temperatures and come out of it with a good corn crop in Nebraska. But like I said, and the other thing, Todd, is that this is just one round out here. The other guys might be finding ear counts, just blowing things away. But I've talked to a couple of the other routes, and they seem to be finding some numbers that are similar to the 3-year average but below a year ago.
Thank you so much for making the time to talk with us today.
You bet, Todd. Talk to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Chip Flory is on the western leg of the Midwestern Crop Tour. Joins us from that tour in Ashton, Nebraska this afternoon. Don't forget, tonight you can visit with me, if you'd like, and our analyst in Macon County at the Extension Building. We will be there with a Will Ag Outlook meeting. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Next week's the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, but this week kicks off a pre-show of sorts that's been around for, several years now. The Half Century of Progress takes place in Rantoul. Darius Harms is one of the show organizers and is on the phone line this year. Mr. Harms, it looks like you've got a great show, and I love part of the title work, which is, has to do with manure spreaders. Tell me about what the decisions were coming into the show.
Well, that just kind of come about in a roundabout way. We started talking about manure spreaders one day about 4 o'clock in the morning, and Mr. Armstrong and I led one thing into another, and pretty soon we decided that maybe we ought to have some manure spreaders around, because there's so many different forms and fashions and shapes and colors of them, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of them around. So we also decided that while we was in that process, we designed a hitch so we can pull 7 of them side by side and spread a lot at one time.
Oh, my. So will that happen, and on which days?
We're going to do it the first time, might be on Friday.
And do you have a specified time for that part of the show?
Yeah, I think it's 2 o'clock, if I remember right, we do that. We spotlight in the manure spreader. And, you know, we got spreaders coming from all over and all sizes. And, you know, it is part of the American farm because, you know, back in the, my younger days, it was a very important part in the fertilization program and also a good way of getting rid of the, you know, the animal waste. And it's a very important part in agriculture.
The show site is where in Rentoul?
It's a former Snead Air Force Base, and it really makes a nice setup because there's 120 acres of concrete there, the runways and taxiways, and, you know, they don't get muddy or they don't get dusty when you get a lot of people out there. So it really works out pretty good. We decided to come here when the Farm Progress decided to build at Decatur, so we were lucky enough to get it, you know, for the Half Century Progress, and it's been growing ever since.
Now, this year, Manure Spreaders of America, Half Century of Progress is the title. It starts Thursday and runs through Sunday. It's there at Chanute Air Force Base in Rentoul. What can people expect to see besides the spreaders?
Well, John Kinzenbaugh built a tractor in 1974 it was designed to pull a 12-bottom plow. Well, he built the plow first. And there was no tractor on the market to demonstrate it with at the 1974 Farm Progress Show. So he built a tractor. You know, he's kind of a genius. He can build what he likes to build. And he built this four-wheel drive tractor using two John Deere 5010 rear ends and transmission and two Detroit V8 diesels, and that gave him 640 horsepower. Which was, you know, awful large for that time. And as a matter of fact, the major companies still don't build anything over 600 horse. So he was way ahead of time, and he's got that thing all slicked up, brought it, and the plow, the 12-bottom plow that he had designed at that time, he brought it. And we're also going to be having the Big Four, which is 99 years old, and it was the tractor that won the plowing contest, and that's a world plowing contest in Winnipeg, Canada in 1912. It's a big, huge prairie tractor, and he's got a 14-bottom plow that he's bringing with it. So, and then we also got the world's largest flying American flag will be here. And that's kind of breathtaking when they bring that up every morning.
What time do the gates open and close?
The gates open at 7 a.m. in the morning, and they close at dusk.
Mr. Harms, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Okay, thank you, and it's been a pleasure. We appreciate it.
Hey, and you have a great show, okay?
Thank you.
Darius Harms is one of the show organizers for the Half Century of Progress program that's coming up in Rentoul this week. Now, up next, it's time to hear from the state statisticians across the Corn Belt.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 21st, 2011. Precipitation amounts varied widely across the state this week, with crop conditions holding steady or improving slightly in areas which received timely rains. Areas that did not receive timely rain have seen some crop conditions deteriorate. Southwest Iowa had a bout of severe weather Thursday containing high winds and hail, which did damage to crops, grain storage facilities, and homes. Meanwhile, Missouri River floodwaters seem to be receding, which means recovery efforts will be the focus of affected producers for some time to come. 95% of the corn crop has reached the milk stage, ahead of the normal 91%, and over three-quarters of the crop has reached the dough stage, behind last year's 84, but ahead of the average 65%. With 41% of the corn in the dent stage, an increase of 28 percentage points from the previous week, the crop condition declined slightly to 63%, good to excellent. Pods are being set on 92% of the soybean crop, compared with 94% last year at this time, and the average of 93%. Soybean condition also declined slightly to 66%, good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with a crop weather report for the week ending August 21st, 2011. A return to normal temperatures brought improved growing conditions and less stress on livestock. There were, however, storms that brought high winds and hail and caused damage to crops and property in locations around the state. The highest levels of precipitation accumulated in the Southeast District, with some locations reporting over 3 inches. Irrigation was active where needed, and grasshopper numbers were still a concern in portions of the West. Corn conditions rated 76% good to excellent. Corn in the dough stage stood at 83%, near 85 average. Corn in the dense stage was at 31%, behind 42 average. Soybean conditions rated 78% good to excellent. Soybean setting pods were 83%, behind 93 average. The third cutting of alfalfa was 70% completed, while the fourth cutting had just started. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 21, 2011. Limited rain and average temperatures provided suitable conditions for producers to harvest small grains. As of August 21st, spring wheat and barley producers harvested 54% of the state's crops, an increase of 33 percentage points from the previous week. Oats were 77% harvested, up 26 percentage points from the previous week. Chopping of corn for silage is underway at 1% compared to 5% for the five-year average. Corn development continued to gain on the five-year average. 89% of the corn was in the milk stage compared to 90% for the average, while 53% of the corn was in the dough stage compared to 57% for the average. 12% of the corn was in the dense stage compared to 23% for the average. Corn conditions ratings declined slightly this past week to 53% in good and 17% rated excellent, compared to 58% in good and 17% rated excellent during the previous week. 97% of the soybeans were blooming compared to 99% for the average. 85% were setting pods compared to 94% for the average. Soybean condition ratings fell slightly this past week to 53% in good and 15% rated excellent, compared to 53% in good and 20% rated excellent the previous week. Surplus topsoil moisture supplies declined to 11%, the lowest rating of the season. Reporters in the southern areas of the state have noted a prolonged lack of rain. Producers continue to scout and spray for soybean aphids when necessary. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 21st, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. And this is the crop progress and condition report for week ending August 21st. This week, scattered rains brought limited relief to some areas of the state, but crop conditions continue to decline. There were 6.4 days suitable for field work. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 7-tenths of an inch of rain. Topsoil moisture was rated 19% very short, 42% short, and 39% adequate. Farmers noted that corn is maturing faster than normal in the driest areas, and lodging continued to be a problem. 70% of the corn crop was in the dough, compared with 89% last year and 77% for the five-year average. 21% of the corn acreage is in the dent stage, compared with 58% last year and 33% for the five-year average. Corn condition is rated 38% good to excellent, compared with 59% last year at this time. The soybean crop still needs additional rainfall as pods are trying to fill. 95% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared with 100% last year and 96% for the five-year average. 74% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 93% last year and 83% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated 45% good to excellent, compared to 56% last year at this time. This is Greg Matley reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In a few moments, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. About 3,600ths of an inch of rain has fallen here in the last rain event over the last, well, several hours on the Urbana-Champaign campus, falling now at a rate of about a quarter of an inch an hour. We'll keep you up to date on the rainfall and what's been happening in the world of agriculture as we make our way through the afternoon in this closing market report. Tonight, please do come to the Macon County Extension Office in Decatur near the Farm Progress Show site. Jackie Vakes and Paul Cooley, Matt Bennett and Kurt Kimmel will be there on hand to talk about the agricultural futures markets. It's free at 7 o'clock this evening in the Macon County Extension Building. Our thanks to Paul Merriman for putting that program together, and we'll be hosting it this evening at the Macon County Extension Building. Again, starts at 7 o'clock, free. Paul Cooley, Matt Bennett, and Kurt Kimmel, along with Jackie Vakes, on hand for the evening.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Don, thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with a couple of big shows that are coming up, both of them farm shows, one, of course, next week. But there's one this week in Rantoul, which isn't too awfully far from Champaign here. In fact, in Champaign County, the Half Century of Progress program will be a four-day event starting on Thursday. What kind of weather can they expect?
Well, it looks like, first of all, we're going to be looking at a couple of systems that will be pushing through, causing some shower and thunderstorm activity. Most of it's going to be coming Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And actually, behind the front, the weather could be quite pleasant. Some cooler, drier air will come in behind it. So for the start of the activities, late Wednesday into Thursday, we're going to have a little bit of thunderstorm activity. After that, the weather is shaping up to be pretty good. The next round of wet weather will probably head into the Corn Belt Midwest, not until probably late Sunday or Monday.
And will it be gone by the time we get to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for Farm Progress Show of next week?
It's looking like it. At least that's the way the timing of systems looks to be right now.
And I suppose producers would prefer to have the rainfall and fill grain, whether that's soybean pods or the corn, either one. How much rainfall and how widespread across the Midwest?
Well, it's not going to be activity that I'd call widespread or heavy. I think the best chance of precipitation, at least covering a lot of areas, would probably be the system coming in that Wednesday, Thursday time frame, as we'll see a pretty good line of thunderstorms move through. It'll be Ohio, southern Indiana, southern Illinois, into those areas that probably have the heaviest chance of precipitation. But these systems are moving along at a fairly good clip, so I'm not expecting anything that'll be too heavy.
Will we have normal-type temperatures daytime and evening over that
period?
Well,
it's looking that way. In fact, the temperatures look to be quite comfortable behind these systems.
And then turn your attention to other parts of the world. Start with China and the corn crop there, please.
Well, a lot of China's weather has been tracking similar to what we've been looking at here in the Midwest and Corn Belt. The better precipitation chances for China are going to be in the central, the southern, and the eastern growing regions. Precipitation there is going to be fairly widespread, although I think some drier areas will be found in some of the northern areas.
And then to South America, where they should be thinking about planting not only soybean, but as I read this morning in one news report, a bit more corn acreage than they have in the past.
Well, over the last week to 10 days, many areas of South America have been a little bit on the dry side, a little bit colder than normal as well. The forecast for the next week to 10 days is going to be favoring probably a trend towards that condition that will stay dry. We really do not see a lot of precipitation falling in many of the growing areas of Brazil or Argentina. If there's going to be precipitation, the best chances right now look to be northeastern Argentina. Otherwise, it's looking a little bit dry down south right now.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don't forget to come and see me tonight if you have the opportunity at the Macon County Extension Building next to the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur for an Ag Outlook panel. It starts at 7 p.m. and is, of course, absolutely free. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.